This is an ABC podcast.
This is the Conversation Hour
on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
There is a group of workers who, before the pandemic, were largely invisible. But now I think pretty much every single one of us appreciates just how critical their job is. And we're talking about cleaners. And right now in Victoria, we have a major shortage of cleaners.
We do. And it's easy to think, oh no, poor rich people not being able to find a cleaner. Sure, for some people, Rochelle, maybe a cleaner shortage just means you have to do a little bit more vacuuming or mopping. But for people, say, living with a disability or people who are elderly or unwell, not having a cleaner is actually a really big problem.
And it is becoming more common now, I think, in households, people that are trying to find a way to juggle work-life balance and outsourcing jobs like cleaning. And maybe, you know, you work really hard to find money to get that cleaner just to make sure you get everything in the household done. So how do we get more people into cleaning jobs if we have such a big shortage? Do we need to smash some of those stereotypes and assumptions that come with being a cleaner? Good morning. My name's Rochelle Hunt and I'm in Melbourne.
And I'm Bronwyn O'Shea in Wodonga. And today we are looking at the ripple effect of this cleaner shortage and how we might address it.
Are you a cleaner? Have you worked in the industry before? What's the reality of your job right now? And what can be done to not only attract but to retain more cleaners, particularly for those vulnerable people who rely on you most?
On ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
This is the Conversation Hour.
And Bron, there's a quote here from a guest that you're going to hear from later in today's show that says, cleaners move between houses like ghosts, never fully seen by those whose homes they clean on a regular basis. And it's such a powerful line. And in planning today's show, you know, we've spoken at length about how uncomfortable we feel, how other people feel about not only talking about cleaners, but maybe admitting that you have a cleaner, why so many of us leave the house before the cleaner comes over, or why we clean before the cleaner comes over. And all of those stereotypes and assumptions that come around cleaning, and even the language that we use around cleaners. There is just so much to look into.
Absolutely. I always feel quite uncomfortable, Rish, when you hear people say things like, oh, you know, everyone from the cleaner to the CEO, as if it's this scale of worth. It's like, no, sorry. And I think especially the last couple of years, without cleaners, we would have been in all sorts of trouble. They kept us going.
I know. And there's also those sayings that we say, oh, God, I'd rather clean toilets before I do, you know, X, Y or Z. There is this inbuilt vernacular and assumptions around it. But as we said right at the beginning of this program, so much of our livelihoods and our lives rely on this industry. And yes, for many of us, we find a way to get that extra money to outsource cleaning so that we can do all the other things in life. But for the vulnerable, you know, for those that are aging, for those that choose to still live in their own homes and not go into aged care, they are relying on cleaners for more than just cleaning, Bron. You know, this is, it's people are checking up on them. It's a little bit of looking at things like, okay, is there enough food in the fridge, or you don't seem right today, or just having that little element that's well and truly beyond mopping and vacuuming.
Absolutely. Even just to have someone who's going to brighten your day, someone to talk to that day. So we'd love to hear your experience as a cleaner, the way that you are regarded, and maybe what's your journey been into cleaning? Because, Rish, I know quite a number of women who have had professions. They've worked as teachers, chefs, engineers, all sorts of professions, but maybe they've started a family, they've needed flexibility, and actually cleaning was the job that gave them that flexibility. So we'd love to hear all of those stories this morning. Mark Pivkowski, I should say, is the CEO of KeyClean. Now, KeyClean, Rochelle, provide cleaning services to some of our big, big venues, places like Southern Cross Station, Parliament House, the Royal Melbourne Hospital, courthouses, schools, you name it. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on board.
How many cleaners short are you at the moment?
If you talked about right around the country, we're probably about 500 short. If you talk specifically in Victoria, then it's probably about half that number. But it's, I think your introduction's, a great introduction, and definitely, puts to light the importance of the service that is provided by so many, but unseen. And usually the only time you think about cleaning is when it's not right.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, we're going to dive into this a little bit today about the stereotypes and assumptions around the industry. But already, there's a text that says, oh, hitting the big issues today, are we? Fancy spending an hour on this? It's worth 10 minutes at most. Now, I would 100% push back on that, because we will hear that this is not just for those that choose to pay for a cleaner. They are a really integral part of our lives. How much of it is about those assumptions that, well, they're not really that important. They're not even worth us talking about today.
Yeah, you're spot on there in that comment. So much work is done by our clean team to keep the environment safe, hygienic, clean for people that, either live at home, they come to an office every day, they go to a school environment, or ministers that go to Parliament House or courthouses. People that are at Southern Cross Station, that when they walk into an amenity, they like it to be actually clean, and somebody's got to do that for them. But as you say, not many people actually think about it, because usually it's done, and the only time you do think about it is when, you go to the amenities and there's paper not there, or there's soap not available, and then you're suddenly thinking about it. And that's why the industry is potentially, one of the most undervalued, but one of the most important industries that are actually out there.
So what's causing the shortage, Mark?
Look, if you go to the actual numbers, if you just want to sort of go through the numbers, usually the industry itself relies so much on individuals coming to Australia. They come here on student visas, they come here to study, but most need to work at the same time. They are usually unskilled or semi-skilled individuals, and they want to study during the day or study of an evening, and they need some work to actually support their livelihood while they're living here. To give you some high-level numbers, some 588 students were living in Australia prior to the pandemic. Right now, there's about 344,000 students, and we've had 162,000 arrive here since November. So between your 588 and 344, we're still 340,000 short on what we had before. And that's an environment, Bronwyn, that actually we need more. So we actually, if you went back to, post-pandemic times, we probably need something like 700,000 students coming to Australia, because all those students will be doing, not just cleaning, but they'll be doing all sorts of work.
Yeah.
Since the pandemic, just to give you some other numbers, temporary skilled workers, we've had 141,000 prior. Now there's about 95. And the backpackers, backpackers love to work in that sort of agricultural environment and the hospitality environment. We had 140,000 of those here prior to the pandemic. Since the pandemic, 31,000. So the problem is just not enough people in an environment that they've got so many choices on what they've got on offer.
How do we fix this? How do we attract more people? Do we need to train people here locally as well? And then I guess more broadly, it's looking at how do we appreciate the work that they do and the importance of the work that they do? There's a text here from Tim in Pakenham that says, I'm a nurse and we literally could not do our job without our cleaners. They are the most underappreciated, poorly paid and often ignored workers in the hospital.
Yeah.
That's actually given me a physical reaction,
same.
Because we've heard the word ignored. I feel like a ghost. People just don't even look at me. People don't know their names. How did it get to that point?
Yeah, look, I think I'll agree with two of those points there, and that is, undervalued and often feel like ghosts. And that is partly because of the environment they work in. But I think what that nurse has described there from Pakenham is a growing swell of, appreciation that is permeating the industry, and a lot more people are recognising today about the importance of the service that is provided. We always say to our team, never undervalue the importance of the work you do, and the work that we do ensures that an individual's experience in an environment, whether it is Marvel Stadium or Southern Cross Station or a private school that they might be attending, or any sort of location that they're attending, it might be just the council premises that you go to use the amenities or a sports hall or whatever, these are very important environments for the public, that the public use on a daily basis. Let alone the point that you made in your opening, which I thought was really important also, that when an individual enters a home of an aged person or a home generally, it's that extra pair of, that extra sort of voice that comes into the home that provides comfort, that somebody's entered the home and can have a short conversation or even a cup of tea with. you know, it's such an important sort of difference.
Yeah, and we know loneliness is an epidemic too, isn't it, at the moment?
It is. It is with an aging population. Yeah, you know, we've got an aging population. It's a problem out there. People actually, not just about loneliness, it's actually, you know, people are suffering from anxiety and stress because of the fact of the pandemic itself and being shut down at home for so long. You know, so many still suffering with mental issues.
I know you've been lobbying government for some time to change the way or change some of the conditions around working visas. Yep. What are you calling for?
Look, what we're calling for is that basically at the moment we're seeing about 5,000 students come back to the country a week at the moment. I mean, they're good numbers, but that number of 240,000 gap in students coming into the country, as I said earlier, is not just for the cleaning industry. So what we're lobbying the government to do is a number of different things, because you need not only just more coming back to the country faster, so don't bring them back by 5,000 a week, bring them back in, like, bring 10 boats to the country. Like, think about it like World War II, when we had immigrants coming to the country. And sure, I know the government has currently approved, you know, something you know, 130,000 sort of visas for backpackers, and that'll certainly support Australia. But Australia's requirements are far greater than what they were prior. So what we're lobbying the government for is a number of things, and that is bring more people in faster, number one. Number two, ease the restrictions. And a lot of people have worked for organisations like ourselves, you know, for the last 5, 6, and 7 years while they've been on student visas, and now find that they've got to leave the organisation that they're with, that they've built their career with, because if they want to get their permanent residency, they've got to move to a regional location, like it might be, you know, Ballarat or Bendigo or up to Albury or down to Geelong, and these sort of locations, which certainly need staff also. But unfortunately, the current, for the cleaning industry specifically, it might be the security industry also, by the way, you know, individuals that have worked for organisations building their careers, if they want to have their permanent residency to live in Australia, they've got to move to a regional location. So not only have they built their career in an organisation, say, like our own, and are now earning, you know, good incomes. They've built their careers. I mean, some are on six-figure incomes, but now they've got to move to a regional location. So what I'm saying is that causes stress for business. Business has been through enough difficulty as it is, you know, trying to retain staff that it's actually got. What we need to also retain the skill, because so many new people. You can imagine that the industry itself is not like, you know, you've done a 4-year course. It's not a skilled industry. There are courses out there that are called certificate.
That's right. And there is, and you know what, and there is a skill level required, though. I mean, maybe that just says something about my level of cleaning. But I mean, it just shows you, Mark, the amount of work that goes into this and the level of change that's needed. But we thank you for your time. Thanks so much. That's Marf Pifkowski, is the CEO of Key Clean. This text here, Bron, that says, hello, I have a person come twice a week to shower me and to do some cleaning. I get this service through my home care package from the federal government. However, today I've not heard who's coming or even if someone is coming at all. I value this service as it enables me to live in my home for longer. I still feel too young at the age of 72 to go into a nursing home. And we're going to go into that in a little more detail in just a moment. But Megan's called through. Hi, Megan.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, what do you want to say?
So I started cleaning. I had young children. I was a manager for a supermarket, but my husband worked shift work, so that just didn't work. But probably the biggest problem is when people, you see on Facebook, I need a cleaner, needs to be reliable, fully trustworthy, and I want to find a $20 an hour, and can I do, you know, my 5-bedroom house and 4 bathrooms in 2 hours? No, we're not speed cleaners, and if you want it done thoroughly, you need to pay. I could probably replace myself, you know, every other day there's someone asking, have you got any availability?
How are you treated when you're in people's homes, Megan, and compared to, say, how you were treated when you were managing a supermarket, when you're in a different position?
Look, all of my clients are lovely, and I probably wouldn't stay with someone who didn't treat me well.
Yeah.
Because there's so much work, you can pick and choose.
Yeah, so you're turning people away, Megan, are you?
For sure.
Megan, it's good to hear from you. Thank you so much. I mean, this is the thing. If you can pick and choose a little bit at the moment, that is a good thing, and you can only work where places you feel comfortable. For regular listeners to Raphael Epstein's Drive program, you may know Kevin the butler, but he's called through to our program. Kevin, welcome. What did you want to say?
Hi, I'm so glad that you're on this subject today. I think it's very important, not necessarily for myself and my people, because we'll always find good people to work for us, but I think for everyone in general, because it all has an impact across the whole sector. But there's a couple of things that I want to point out here. A cleaner is a cleaner, and is different to a housekeeper. A housekeeper has more responsibilities than a cleaner. And the going rate for a housekeeper at the moment, in my field, is between $45 and $55 an hour. And that's a big responsibility and a lot of money. But I think there's a couple of things that are affecting the industry, and I'd like to just briefly hit on them. Mm. One of them is, I think probably at least 25% of people working in the industry are being paid cash. So a lot of them, when you advertise for a cleaner, they will ask for cash up front and they won't bother going any further in the interview process unless you can offer them cash. And then going up against that, you have labour hire companies that are charging $70, $80 an hour for cleaners, just cleaners, and then paying the cleaners the award rates. And more importantly, what they do is they get them to sign a contract which means that they can only work exclusively for the labour hire company. Now, these contracts have been going around in the hospitality industry for a lot of years and the cleaning industry, and a lot of times they're illegal and they represent a restriction of trade for these people who are contractors. So I think that the labour hire industry and have a negative effect on cleaners for general cleaners.
Have you noticed a shortage? I mean, you've just highlighted quite a few reasons there, but have you noticed a shortage not just as a result of the pandemic, but leading into the pandemic at all, Kevin?
Leading into the pandemic, there was definitely a shortage because people were just scared to be around other people in other people's homes. And we lost a very good housekeeper in one property purely for that reason, because she was just terrified to be around other people in someone else's home.
Mm, I understand that.
But now there's a lot of people coming into the industry after post-pandemic because there's good money to be made. You know, I mean, like I said, a housekeeper can earn more than a teacher.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, that says a lot about teaching as well and, you know, and just what we pay certain people that really make our society tick over. Kevin, thanks so much for calling through. Tess is in Soldiers Hill. Morning, Tess.
Morning, Rochelle. I'd just like to say I think this is a very important subject you're talking about, and I think cleaners are so necessary and valued by so many of us. But as an example, this current government with the NDIS funding pay an hourly rate for cleaners at $55 an hour. They have a direct and very positive impact on participants and families, but support coordinators who are just not necessarily impacting directly with participants are valued in NDIS plans at $110 an hour. So clearly there is a disproportionate value on support coordination, which is just going back into NDIS compared to...
It's a huge problem with people trying to access cleaners through NDIS and being able to, the money that's allocated, that being enough to cover the work, let alone being able to find the workers in the first place, Tess. Is that what you've experienced?
That's exactly right. And we have, in a rural situation, the most wonderful cleaners that have become part of the family, trusted, but to fund them for what is required to do to keep a clean and a safe environment for someone who has a chronic illness, it's almost impossible for them to do what's required. And the funding is just not there because the government don't set the value of their contribution to participants.
Tess, thank you for raising that. Yes, and Owen's got a similar story in Wantirna. Hi, Owen.
Thank you for taking my call. My complaint is that we have a really good cleaner who comes for 2 hours a week for my wife, who's on an aged care package, and that's fine. But some government edict has been issued that says that helpers who come for must come for 2 hours. Now, my wife has 3 showers Monday, Wednesday and Friday, and it takes an hour. But I'm informed that people have to come for 2 hours. Now, that's just a complete waste of their time and our time because I can't split the cleaning up. I can't go shopping for an hour. It takes 20 minutes to go to the shops, 20 minutes back, and you can't do any shopping for food and the like in 20 minutes in and out.
And there's so many people, Owen, that are in the exact same situation where their home care package just isn't working for them. And that's a huge part of today's conversation. And Craig Gear is the CEO of the Older Persons Advocacy Network, which you would know as OPAN. Now, he was too busy and had a prior commitment to speak with us live on air. But Bron and I caught up with him earlier this morning to get his opinions on all of the things that you've already been highlighting today. And we started off by asking him how the national shortage of cleaners is affecting older Australians.
It's really interesting because you wouldn't think that something like cleaning was so important, but it actually is something that's very empowering for people to know that their house is clean. But it's also a service that actually reduces the risk of falls, and it actually helps people's mental well-being. The other thing that a cleaner does is they're there checking on a person. So in the sense that they can see what's happening in the person's life and also provides that bit of social connection. So with an absence of cleaners, it makes it really difficult for people to stay independent and in control of their lives. So what you would think is a simple service is not. It's absolutely vital for older people to have those supports.
And what's the current state at the moment, Craig? How big is the shortage? And, you know, is it forcing people to go into aged care and to be able to live self-sufficiently at home?
Look, in and of itself, it's difficult to get a handle on what's available, and it's probably it's patchy. So there are some rural communities and other places where the community is banded together to work out models of support that work for that community. And I think that's something we need to look at moving forward with the aged care reforms is how do we actually get a village to look after a person or a group of people, of older people in their community, to know what they need and to be able to reach in and provide that support. So while there is services under the Commonwealth Home Support Program and under home care packages, the availability may not be there or the timeliness of it. People are having to wait for what's called CHSP, the Commonwealth Home Support Program. And so it's that not knowing it's coming or when it's coming or when it will be available that is making the challenge for people. But a great opportunity for local communities to deliver local solutions that work for their community and their older people in your street.
So on that, Craig, how do you actually support communities to make those solutions happen? How do we change the system to make this workable?
Yeah, so there's a lot of grassroots sort of bottom-up approaches because we've got to know what's going to work for that community. There are some providers in rural settings who've got together with their local council and seen what the local planning needs are, those sorts of things. The primary health networks are looking at what the aged care services that are needed in their particular jurisdiction or catchment area. But we also need sort of planning at the Commonwealth level to make sure that there's service access or where there are challenges, that there's sort of what's called thin markets, that there's a model that makes sure that those supports are in place. So it's not just cleaning, it's about home support, it's about shopping, it's about nursing care, all these sorts of the range of things that are going to keep an older person living independently in their home. And that's what older people are telling us they so much want to do. They want to stay in their home as long as possible, connected to their community, still doing the social things they need, but with those supports coming in, that mean they're at less risks of falls and they can still manage their lives as they've done for many, many decades.
There are so many different issues that we cover on the Conversation Hour where the solutions fall back to the community and the work that the community does and volunteering. And as wonderful as that is, a glass half empty side here, Craig Gear, I'm wondering whether we can keep relying on the community to fill those gaps and whether or not the home care package needs to change. We know that this is an issue for people living with a disability and the amount of money that's allocated through the NDIS for cleaning packages. Is this helping in the short term, but it's not fixing it in the long term by relying on the love and the respect that volunteers and community members have for each other?
You're right. I mean, it can't be just a volunteer model. That can be a complement and supplement and helping. What that does do is help with social isolation. But so does the paid cleaner who comes in and is seeing someone every week and then noticing some deterioration and can say, maybe I should put this up the line and actually let the case manager who's part of that know. So there is a case management model that's needed in this as well. Flexible so that people can say, I'm pretty much right. I can do this myself. Just check in with me once a month or something, up to a range that says, I need you checking and needing your support every week. But that means that there needs to be local planning by the primary health network, consideration by the local government area, but also the Commonwealth needs to look at some planning around where services and where there's service gaps, and looking at models which might be some grant funding or some flexible models that does look across disability, aged care and veterans care that says we actually need to invest in this area so that people have equity of access no matter where they live in Australia.
And I guess it's all right to have the systems in place and the planning looking forward in that way, but you still need the people to do the job, Craig, and that seems to be the problem at the moment. Absolutely. There just aren't the cleaners. So where do we find them? How do we make that happen?
Look, there's going to have to be, it's a really complex, one of those big hairy problems that we need to look at is around workforce, and it's workforce in the care and support area, but again, across disability, veterans care, aged care, and start planning out where's the pipeline for workers and support people. How do we make sure that they've got the right attitude, the right skill set, they're in the right place at the right time. We need some planning around that because we're going to have to grow our own. We probably need to look at models that sort of have people coming from overseas. We need the high-level clinical nurses in aged care. But, yeah, we've got a workforce planning issue that we need to look at. And we need to look at local communities to see what we can mobilise but pay as well so that people have choice and control. But it's a big, hairy problem, and we need to do some planning because the demand's going to go up as the population grows. And older people and people with disabilities have the right to have good quality, timely access to services.
And just finally, Craig, we know that there is a lot of pressure on our aged care, our aged care homes across the state. By making sure that we invest into cleaners and into home care services, does it then in turn take that pressure off at the aged care setting?
It does both. It means one thing we do need is a very well-paid workforce to attract people to it. So the Fair Work Commission's case that's been before them at the moment is really, really vital for the sustainability of the workforce. But the sustainability of the model, some people will want to or get to a point where they need residential aged care. But what the majority of older people are telling us is they want that to be the decision about when they go there, and when the time comes that the types of support, the care minutes that are around them, that they're still getting allied health, that they're still getting access to their GP, that they're still getting lifestyle support while they're in residential aged care. So we need those workforces there, as well as we need the home care and community supports so that people can stay and exercise their choice to stay at home as long as they want to.
Gosh, it really is more than just a role of coming around and cleaning your home. Thanks so much for explaining
to
us.
Absolutely.
Craig Gear, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
CEO of Older Persons Advocacy Network, also known as OPAN.
And we are talking about, Rochelle, the cleaner shortage that Victoria and indeed Australia-wide that we're facing. Are you a cleaner? What is the reality of your job right now? And what can we do to attract and keep more cleaners? Because as we're hearing, Rish, it's not just a matter of some rich people missing out on some vacuuming. These are really important services for people in need.
There's a text here that says, hey guys, there are cleaners and there are cleaners. I actually got a certificate through TAFE on cleaning and health. I've cleaned in hospitals and now in homes. In this current climate, you need to think about infection control between homes. It's very hard. It's physically taxing. But I love being that fairy that comes in weekly and is much appreciated by all of my customers. I work 6 days a week and I'm turning people away all the time. And that's from Ruth. And earlier, Bron, you know, as we thought, we got a text saying, oh, I can't believe you're talking about this. Well, ever since that one text, there is now text after text saying, thank you so much for discussing this. This is something that needs to be discussed on all levels, not only how we treat cleaners, the stereotypes around it, the shortage that we have. Yes, okay, for working families or for individuals that can afford it, but for our ageing population to take that kind of pressure off aged care homes, and for those living with a disability as well, and all of the complications that come with NDIS around being able to fit cleaning into that. This is a huge topic.
And if you don't acknowledge it and celebrate the work of cleaners, then it's a job that's not respected, and then it just exacerbates this very problem which is driving this program today, which is that we just don't have enough people to do this vital work. Katie's in Clunes. Hi, Katie.
Hi. I wanted to say, I run a gardening business in Daylesford, and I know a number of the cleaners that work for the holiday accommodation area, and they work so damn hard. I don't understand the caste system, and some of them, they're actually earning so much money that they're earning more than the average income. And in addition to that, I used to run a hotel and cafe business. It's now under new management, so it's not a problem. But the owners there, they would allow every cafe worker to have a free coffee in the morning. But there were some wonderful Nepalese staff that I managed in the, like, cleaning the hotel rooms, and the owners refused to let them have a cafe. And I argued and argued, and I said, well, what are they going to do? And the owner said, they've got a kettle upstairs and some instant coffee, and that's theirs. Now, the attitude was disgusting. These people were engineers and IT specialists that had come from Nepal to have a better life here. And unfortunately, they've been, I don't want to say stuck in the cleaning industry, because it is,
Well, that's the interesting thing, Katie. I was thinking, even if they weren't engineers and they didn't have all of these degrees, that's almost irrelevant, isn't it?
Totally.
Absolutely, it's irrelevant. They're beautiful people. They work their butts off. They're, one of them, they had their baby back in home in Nepal for 3 years while they tried to make enough money here to bring their son home.
Yeah.
And it's just like these people are working their butts off and they don't get the respect they deserve. I just think it's disgraceful.
I just don't know how we change it. And I don't know if it's an Australian thing. I just don't know what it is. I mean, Bron, we were talking earlier about how sometimes, if you do and if you've ever had a cleaner, you're embarrassed to tell people. There's this thing, there's so much around having someone come in and clean your home where we don't feel comfortable about it. And I just can't figure out why that is.
People I know who have a cleaner, clean for the cleaner, and then have to leave the house because they just feel too weird about being there when the cleaner's there. And that's not because they don't respect them. I think it's just we feel it a little bit as though that's not a job that I should be watching someone else do.
Well, they know your secrets a little bit too, don't they?
You have to have immense trust.
Of course.
With your cleaner, don't you?
Yeah.
That person is a special person that you say, come into my home or my workplace or wherever it might be, and here are the keys to everything.
Yeah.
And we give you our full trust. It is such an important and
trusted position. It's a privileged
position.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep. We're going to speak to a cleaner in just a moment who has kind of really dug down into some of the things we were just throwing around. Why is it? Why do we feel like that? And one of her theories is that it's the closest you ever get to having, in inverted commas, a servant, and how uncomfortable that makes people feel. So how do we shift that as well and just see it as an essential service, or that you're just outsourcing like we do the gardening or like we do other things as well, if that's what you choose to do? How do we just shift that thinking? So if you're a cleaner, what's the reality of your day-to-day job? Or is there a huge gap in your industry where you are desperately needing cleaners, and how do we fix that?
On ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
This is The Conversation Hour.
Rochelle Hunt with you in Melbourne, Bronwyn O'Shea with you as well in Wodonga, talking about the huge shortage of cleaners that we have in this state, well, actually in this country, Bron, and how it affects so many different people. A lot of what we've touched on today are those living with a disability and whether or not the NDIS is covering that correctly. Mandy McCracken is a friend of the program. She's a quadruple amputee and also the creator of Look Mum, No Hands podcast, and a regular here to ABC Radio Melbourne. happen. Mandy, we've spoken about this off air and the whole idea of a cleaner being seen as a necessity or a luxury. When it comes to people that are accessing cleaners through the NDIS, it's certainly not a luxury, is it?
No. I speak to a lot of people that are new to disability through the amputee world, and one of the first things I always say to them, when you're negotiating, you know, what life's going to look like, make sure the first thing you do is get a cleaner, because it just takes that stress out that your household's already dealing with, and really, really lightens the load incredibly.
And do you feel, Mandy, as though cleaners are taken for granted, looked down upon, not valued for what they do provide?
No. In my household, our cleaner is almost like a member of the family, and we really value her coming. It's like, oh, thank God you're here. We welcome her with open arms. And it's interesting, actually. I was saying to my husband the other day, he was questioning, you know, is it too luxurious that our teenage daughters have someone that comes in and cleans up after them each week? And I said to him, like, we just can't not have that in our lives, because I think our entire house would just dissolve into a complete mess in so many ways if we didn't have someone regularly coming in and just doing that for us. So we are so incredibly grateful for them coming.
There's not as many as we anticipated, but there's another text that's just come through, Mandy, that says, really, you know, is this discussion worthwhile? What do you say to people that think, you know, it's not even worth us discussing the importance of cleaners?
In my house, okay, mum, dad and a couple of kids, and if we didn't have that cleaner, our mental health would be just in the toilet. And it's so vitally, vitally important that there's that option for that support for people with, you know, ageing or disability, because if we didn't have it, the mental health would just be imploding. So if there's a gap there that's not being met as a community, we really need to focus on it and make sure that we correct it as soon as we can.
And it's easy to say, oh, well, you know, how necessary is it? It's a luxury. But the whole point is that everyday tasks are not easy and not every day. If you're elderly or if you are experiencing, you know, living life with a disability, it's not that straightforward, is it?
Yeah, well, I've lost my hands and I've lost my feet, so there's no way I could clean the toilet. And, you know, to get down onto my knees to clean the bath or a shower, the floor of a shower, I cannot physically do it. I just couldn't even think to try. And, again, as one of your previous callers said, it's falls risk is a big part of this. So a lot of this is about being safe. Luxury is so far down on the list of why we need this support.
Mandy, as always, thanks for your time.
You're welcome. Anytime.
That's Mandy McCracken. You can listen to her on her podcast that she created, Look Mum, No Hands. Andrew has called through from South Melbourne. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. I'm just speaking in praise of cleaners. My wife and I are in the older age group, and she's picked the Quinella. She's got an oldie and a disabled person. But our cleaner is just irreplaceable. We live in a retirement village, God's waiting room, and our cleaner has managed to get probably 10 clients in our building, possibly, purely because of what she does and how she cares.
And it's those added things as well, isn't it? It's more than cleaning. I'm not saying that the cleaning isn't important in its own right, but it's that role that they play in your household, Andrew, isn't it? And especially as we age as well, having that extra person there.
Well, it's exactly. It's something that we get odd meals presented to us. We get company. She doesn't mind the fact that of my disability. In fact, she will come in at a certain time and put the socks on because I can't bend down to put them on. It's simple things. I mean, it sounds so mundane, but
it's life.
Boy, it is staggering what she does. If it was a commercial radio station, I'd hand over her phone number.
But, and you could clone her seven times, because once you find an amazing cleaner like that, everybody wants their number.
I know, and it almost, I remember when I was working really ridiculous hours and there was no way that I was going to be even up in time to help my daughter, and my husband was out early, and we hired someone, and the word cleaner didn't even sum it all up. We called her our life helper, right? Because
that's beautiful, yeah.
Because she just, without her, forget about it. I wouldn't have been, I would not have been able to have said yes to that particular shift, and I just wouldn't have. So she was an absolute life helper.
Jo's in Ballarat. Hey, Jo.
Well, I've come to cleaning in a different way to many people, because I worked in IT, in the online learning education sector, for many years. Mm-hmm. I retired 10 years ago. And relationship breakup, had to use up all my savings. And now, of course, the easiest way for me to get straight back in the workforce is to do cleaning, which is fine. I've got the physical strength to do it. And I'm very happy to help. But, you know, it's great to hear that most people really appreciate the work that's done. And just a bit of a shame that some people regard it as some invisible service.
I have to say there's more coming through that outweigh, I think, the negative. I really do. And, I mean, are you enjoying the work, Jo?
I'm finding it, yes. It's really challenging and interesting, and I love the fact that I'm really helping people. And as a lot of callers have said, I mean, the thing is that you have to get it right, especially these days. I mean, you know, environmental cleanliness, infection control, providing people with a clean environment is so important. So there's so many things to pay attention to. You know, it's just not really a simple job. And the other thing is, as a lot of people say, it keeps people in their homes for longer.
Yeah.
And I think, I just wonder if, I think maybe it's a hangover, it's a bit of a class issue. this is a funny observation. I just happened to watch Miss Marple the other day because I like crime fiction. You may laugh, but the invisible servants in the background, you know, there's just a bit of a hangover from that. And, you know, it's just a little bit underappreciated. So, you know, and it doesn't pay as well as some other jobs. So, of course, some people will just immediately say, well, if there's anything else I can do, I'm not going to be a cleaner because I won't be appreciated.
It's that invisibility that's come through a lot. Jo, thank you so much for your thoughts. Jen has sent us a text, Bron, that says, hello, I'm listening to this whilst cleaning a woman's house. I also do shower assistant, respite, transport, meal preparation for NDIS and aged care. Just a point, we are not just cleaners, we are personal carers.
There you go. Paddy O'Reilly is author of Other Houses, which is all about the life of a cleaner. Hi, Paddy.
Good morning.
And you've really noted that invisibility, haven't you?
I have. And I think the last caller was right. There is still a class issue about it, and people do feel uncomfortable. And I've noticed that there are a couple of TV shows from America where they actually call cleaners maids. And to me, a maid is truly a servant, whereas I think a cleaner isn't a servant, certainly not here in Australia. And but I think there is still a little bit of that feeling of, as someone was saying before, I want to get out. I don't know how to treat this person, particularly in houses where someone's coming in and just cleaning for a family and then leaving rather than doing personal care.
But why is that, do you think? And I mean, you sort of explore class divide. It's almost a term that feels really uncomfortable to say in the modern day, but that's something that you've explored throughout your book. We know the importance of this industry. You know, we really do. And if you don't, then the pandemic no doubt would have taught you how important this industry is. Is it just a hangover, like Jo, our previous call, said, or is fundamentally, is there something else going on, and how do we change that?
Well, I don't think you can deny that there are class problems in Australia, and there's terrible wealth inequity, and I don't think anybody yet has said cleaners get paid an enormous amount of money. They get paid very little, considering the incredible physical work that they do. It's it's an exhausting job, and people are very fussy. You know, I have been in a place where I could see in the corner of my eye someone running her finger along the architrave on top of the door to make sure I'd got all the dust off. So it's something that I think can only be fixed on a macro level, the whole inequity problem. And because we're all uncomfortable about talking about it, it's unlikely to be fixed in a hurry. And people, when they're talking to their cleaner, it might be someone who's incredibly valuable to them, and yet it's unlikely that they'd be invited to dinner because there's that feeling of,
Yeah, that's such a good analogy.
I mean, but I know people whose cleaners are, as you said, Rich, part of the family.
Oh, yes.
They exchange Christmas gifts. Mm-hmm. They are loved and respected mm-hmm. and valued, and yet you're right, there is still this sort of awkwardness about that relationship. I know you said it's a bit, it's going to take a lot of work to change that, Patty, but what's one little step? What could we do today to make that relationship less awkward and hopefully to actually encourage more people to really consider going into cleaning because it can be a really flexible and rewarding job if that's what you're looking for?
It's true. I think it can be a really fantastic job, and there's nothing better than coming home to a clean house. And this is one of the reasons.
I know. I thought, you know what, I was too embarrassed to say that, but it's one of my joys. If you come home to a clean house, how good does it make you feel?
I know. It's incredible. I mean, even if you have to do it yourself and you go out the door and you come back in, it's fantastic. It's refreshing in your whole spirit, not just in the fact that your house is physically clean. So how to actually solve that divide is a really difficult one. But I feel like, as somebody mentioned gardeners, and I think there's not that same thing with gardeners. Gardeners, it's more transactional. But, of course, cleaners come into your house and they know all your secrets. And they're in an incredible position of privilege. And also, I think, with that privilege goes along a kind of responsibility to be discreet, and that might be part of the thing that makes things a little bit awkward, that they know more about you than probably your best friend.
Oh, yes, that's so true. Patty, thank you. Patty O'Reilly, author of Other Houses, which explores the realities of cleaning. Lots of calls coming through. Rish, Michael's in northeast Victoria. Hi, Michael.
Yeah, good morning, ladies. Just wanted to make a quick comment. My wife has worked in the industry cleaning sort of over the years for a number of reasons, stepped away from it, mainly COVID shutdowns and homeschooling. We've still got a child at home with us. Now that life is getting back to some sort of normality, she decided to put her toe in the water, so to speak, so she thought. Put an ad on Facebook, and she had her Monday to Friday days booked absolutely within less than 24 hours.
My goodness.
She was completely smashed with requests. So one of the comments I make is she was stoked that so many people were desperate for her services, and knowing her personally, not these are people that know her, and she was just over the moon that she was able to help out and bring some sort of joy back to people's lives. So it wasn't just a commercial enterprise. She had one customer asked her, or she announced how much she was going to charge, and the lady said, "No, I'll give you $50 an hour plus GST. So I need you desperately."
Wow.
Now these are domestic cleans, commercial cleans, aged care cleans, all of the above. But
and so she's enjoying being back in the industry.
This has only been in the last couple of days. But
oh, wow, okay.
It's going to be, you know.
She's going to be busy.
She's going to be busy. But
you won't see her, Michael.
No, she was blown away with how quick it went. And but I also thought, too, it's worth noting, we live in a free market economy. Supply and demand is very important. There's a void out there. Now, she's gone from basically looking to get a bit more income into the household to potentially bringing in a couple of thousand dollars a week, just like that.
So I'm so glad they're paying her correctly too, Michael, because there was, you know, a few texts along the lines of, and they're way down the page now, so I'm paraphrasing, that were saying, oh, you'll see people posting on Facebook, does anybody know, you know, of a good cleaner, but they don't really want to pay too much either. So they'll say, we want a really good cleaner, but we want them to be cheap. Yeah. So, Michael, it's really good to know that, you know, that your wife is being paid accordingly. Thanks for calling.
Mm. I know someone who decided to go back into the workforce and was looking at cleaning jobs, so put a resume in or an application in online with a company. Within an hour, Rochelle, she had a call back to say, yep, you've got the job.
And you need to be X, Y, and Z in 45 minutes.
It was that fast. That demonstrates just how desperately they're needed.
This text, my 34-year-old son has Down syndrome and we have a cleaner come in once a week through NDIS. Her visits are not only practical but a stress relief for us both. He also has personal carers that come in and help to shower him. He refused for me, but he enjoys the carers' visits. They do a wonderful job as both social and mental health services. Well, it's invaluable. Margaret will be our last caller. She's in Nuttawadding. Hi, Margaret.
Hello there. Yes, I just wanted to put a word in for council help that I get from the Manningham Council. And I've had the same lady for a long time. And I just wanted to say how, as well as cleaning, they're absolutely marvellous in as much as taking note of how you are. A few years back, I came back from my brother's over from Christmas, and I was upset because he became very ill. And when my cleaning lady arrived, she said, "Hi, Margaret, how's your Christmas? How was this Christmas?" And I just burst into tears. Mm. Anyway, she sat down and had a chat with me, and I explained to her why I was upset, and it was nothing about me; it was about my brother. And anyway, she did the work, and then later in the day, she came back with a bunch of flowers and something else. And a few days later, the council rang me to make sure I was okay.
So she's done that. Yeah. And that's what we heard earlier at the beginning of the program.
Yeah, I heard you mention it. Yeah. I heard you mention it, and I thought, you know, it's they're well trained too, these people who work for councils, and I've been very, very happy with her anyway.
Thanks for your story, Margaret.
Yeah, and that's such a wonderful call to end on today, Bron, because right at the beginning, you know, when we spoke to the Older People's Advocacy Group, they were saying it's more than just cleaning. It's making sure that people like Margaret are okay, and if, you know, that they do need that other little bit of help, and that can go up the chain as well. I think today was a really important conversation.
Yeah. Thank you to everyone who's contributed.
Bronwyn O'Shea coming to you from Wodonga, as always. Thank you so much for joining us on The Conversation. I'll speak to you in a couple of weeks' time.
Yes, indeed. Take care.
I'll speak with you tomorrow. Until then, be safe, be well, and we'll talk to you soon.